Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will see you tomorrow afternoon. One of those strange weekday 4 o'clock starts Eastern time. We haven't ever had too many of those, but it could be kind of fun. The Blue Jays and Diamondbacks, and the Jays hoping not to get swept by a team that's now 21-14 on the road for some strange reason. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays fall 4-2, despite not hitting the Diamondbacks, 8-3. Let's get to the phones, and we begin with Jim in Toronto. You're going to lead things off. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. How you doing?
All right. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. Mike, you know what? I was just thinking here, the baseball being such a game of statistics, I wonder if it's possible to dig up a statistic. When Bautista's in the game, what's the Jays' winning win-loss record?
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, he hasn't missed many games. I know that they're 4-3 without him the last seven games that he's missed. But I don't know if he has missed another game or two over the course of the year. Let's see. He's played 65 of 73. So he did miss a game earlier in the season that I'm not accounting for. So the Blue Jays are either 5-3 or 4-4 when Jose Bautista is not in the lineup.
It just seems that he's a real spark plug, and not just with the bat, but probably good for the chemistry of the team.
He's one of their best players. I mean, you don't want to be without one of your best players. Very obviously, he and Donaldson and Encarnacion are the three best players on this team. So, obviously, when he's not around, it's a loss.
Yeah, he's in what, his last year? He's in his option year.
He's in the final year of his contract. Yes.
Yeah. So I think it'd be good to really keep him, to re-sign him again.
It depends on a lot more than, you know, just their one-loss record without him in a season when they planned to have him.
Right.
There are many more factors when choosing whether or not to re-sign him. And the truth of the matter is it's not up to the Blue Jays to choose whether or not to re-sign him. It's up to Jose Bautista to decide whether or not he wants to stay, or he wants to, you know, go see what he can get on the market. And more power to him if he decides to go and see what he can get on the market.
And if Shapiro could sign him, then I've heard some people say he's a Shapiromaniac, but I don't think he would be.
I don't know what that means, but I appreciate, now I get it. Sorry, it's still not good. But thank you for the call, Jim. Hopefully the entire call was not just a lead up to that awful, awful, awful pun. Blue Jays lose 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk continues. More of your calls coming up on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
By the mound, out toward the bag at second, left by the second baseman Segura, step on the bag, one back to first, double play, and the inning is over. Gene Segura with a great play up the middle of the diamond to catch the ball off the bag, then find the bag with his foot, and then rifle a throw back to first base, and the Diamondbacks are off the field still with a 4-2 lead.
Terrific play there by Gene Segura, and that's one of the reasons that I named him my player of the game. But it was really spread around today. But the most important thing, and Jerry mentioned it, picking his player of the game, Marco Estrada. And we're told now that Estrada's back flared up in the sixth inning, which is why he came out of the game. But Estrada didn't pitch great today. He walked three. He was threw a lot of pitches. Sometimes is in trouble. And when you look at it, when it's all done, he gave up two hits and set a major league record. Nobody in the history of the major leagues of baseball has ever made 11 consecutive starts throwing at least six innings and giving up no more than five hits. And I'm going to say that again. No one in the history of the major leagues of baseball has ever had 11 consecutive starts in which he'd thrown at least six innings and given up no more than five hits. No one, except for Marco Estrada. It is, I mean, and I know the Blue Jays lost, and I know they've lost three in a row, and I know people are upset, and it's unacceptable and whatever. It is an amazing thing that we are bearing witness to. There's no other way to put it. Marco Estrada was what the Blue Jays could get for Adam Lind, who they were going to non-tender. This was, give us something to make it worth our while. Marco Estrada started last year in the bullpen, didn't move into the rotation until Daniel Norris got sent down at the end of April. And since then, or maybe a couple of starts in, once he found his rhythm, he has been one of the three or four best pitchers in the major leagues of baseball. It is patently ridiculous what Marco Estrada has done. And incredible to get to watch him out there every 5 days. He doesn't have the huge fastball. He's not 6'6 like Roy Halladay. But he's been incredible. And it's amazing that we're getting to watch this every 5 days. We used to say that about Halladay. We used to say it about Roger Clemens. We used to say it about Pat Henkin when he was winning Cy Young Awards, and Dave Steeb, who might have been the best pitcher of the 1980s. It is amazing that we get to see him every 5 days, every 4 days in the case of Steeb for a while there. What Marco Estrada is doing has never been done before. Blue Jays fall 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have lost three in a row. They just didn't get the big hits tonight. They out-hit the Diamondbacks 8-3, but a couple of key double plays hurt them. And a perfect inning of relief each from Tyler Clippard and Daniel Hudson never gave them a chance to come back. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. So give us a call. Talk to Josh Goldberg. If he likes you, he'll put you on the air. And as we queue up your calls, let's listen to the manager. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's 4-2 loss to Arizona.
John, Marco pitched a pretty good game. He was at 88 pitches when you made the change. Was there any physical reason for that, or is there something for your game planning at that point?
No, his back flared up on him a little bit. He's been battling that a little bit, and it kind of tightened up a little bit more than, you know, figured better get him out of there. We don't want any problems, you know. So, yeah, he did. I mean, he did what he always does. I think he left a changeup up for the home run. It was the difference there. So, yeah, you know what I'm going to say? He does it every time he goes out there. It's that simple. I think he set a record tonight, Jay, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty impressive.
Straight starts, six innings of five hits or less. First time in Major League history.
Pretty impressive.
Is it frustrating at all knowing that you only gave up three hits with your pitching staff and you come up on the short end of the stick tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's always frustrating. Yeah, because, you know, they beat us at our game normally. You know, we usually hit some home runs. You know, the big two-run homer and then that extra one. And there was, you know, we had some chances. We had some guys on base we couldn't cash anything in. You know, that was our nemesis early in the year, too, you know. We've been on a pretty good roll, but made some big pitches, got some big outs. So, you know, you got to give them credit for that.
Gibby, what surprises you more, Kevin Pillar being able to make the catches or Kevin Pillar being able to just get up and dust himself off after running into walls and such?
Well, he's a tough kid. You know, he just, you know, I can't say you get bored watching that because it's all he does, you know. He really expect him to make every play that's any ball that's hit out there. I mean, he's that good and he does it that often. And but, yeah, he's got a hard head too, so. But, you know, another great catch.
Barry touched on it a bit there, but as much as you watch and enjoy him, do you also kind of hold your breath every time he hits the wall like that too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime you see somebody banging the wall or, you know, even all the diving he does, you know, you hope he doesn't land wrong and do something to his shoulder or something like that or catch his wrist. But it hasn't happened yet.
John, any specific thing you saw that made Corbin so tough on you guys today?
Well, you know, he really a typical lefty that, you know, he moved the ball in and out, you know, through some good changeups and through his breaking ball just enough, you know. He was good tonight. I mean, he had a real good feel of what he's doing. I mean, he held a pretty good, you know, primarily right-handed lineup in check, so he had to be good.
Yeah, he was good. Patrick Corbin, who a couple of years ago, before his Tommy John surgery, had an incredible season. And the year before that was a really good reverse lefty. Really got the job done against a right-hand heavy lineup for the Blue Jays. And the Jays have now lost six in a row. They change the lineup up. Devin Travis moves up to the number two spot. Josh Donaldson down to three. And Edwin Encarnacion down to four. As John Gibbons said before the game, that Travis has earned it. And that he's experimenting. And you can always experiment, said John Gibbons. Can't really blame runners in scoring position today. Even though the Blue Jays got eight hits and three walks, they were 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position, so not a ton of opportunities. Kevin Pillar did take them out of one by trying to steal third and getting thrown out to end the fourth, but he had just made that incredible catch and hit a two-run double to provide all the Blue Jays offense. They fall 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Morty is in Monroe, New Jersey. Hey, Morty.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
And two quick questions. One question, when a player steals, how much is that on his own accord or by the coaches telling him? Like, Pilar stealing third. Is that all by himself?
Yeah, the coaching staff will never order a player to steal a base. You know, it's always steal if if we'd like a stolen base here or this is a good time or whatever, but only if you think you can get it. So I don't think it's ever the coach saying go. And if a player is not confident, but, you know, Tim Leeper's there with his stopwatch at first base anyway, and he says to the guy, look, this is how quick the pitcher is, and we know this is what the catcher's pop time is, so either you can beat that or you can't. And that's generally how it works. But no, that was Kevin Pillar thinking he had the base stolen and going on his own and making a wrong call.
Right. And another thing, when Sanchez gets moved to the bullpen, you think, I know Burley wasn't ever officially retired. You think there would be any chance on either side of him be willing to do that?
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Burley is not going to...
On your side? On Burley's side?
Oh, for sure, on Burley's side. I'm sure the Blue Jays would love to have him around, but Mark Burley's not pitching in the major leagues anymore.
Okay, fine, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays fall 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. John is in South Fork, Ontario.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm good. I thought South Fork was in Dallas.
You got me.
Where are you?
Actually, in Sudbury, Ontario, hanging out with Bobby and JR.
Okay. So,
well, I just want to say, I love the city of Toronto. Pilar, amazing. Great save, great catch. It's going to be like Anderson this year. Great job by the Leafs. Love the show.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Yeah, there's no South Fork in Ontario. And for some reason, there had to be a Frederick Anderson take on Blue Jays talk. That's fine. That's fine. Let's go to Montreal. Grant, you got anything to say about the Leafs?
No.
Oh, good.
Not at all. But I wanted to talk baseball. And love your show. I'm just a casual Jays fan. I'll say that right off the bat. But
no problem at all.
I think the Jays could use a shake-up with the manager.
Why?
I like John Gibbons. I just think he's too relaxed with with the players.
What would you rather he do?
Well, they're inconsistent, and I love the lineup that they have right now. I think they should be doing a lot better. Obviously, they're only three games back, but I think the players need a little more kind of direct, maybe inspiration, like just someone to motivate them a bit more, be a little kind of direct with them. I just find Gibbons is too laid back, and I think they'd be good with getting like a Ozzie Guillen type manager in there that would just kind of, you know, slap the horse a little bit and get them going, because they should be doing a lot better. And they, I don't know, so far it's just too inconsistent. So,
well, they're a game out of a playoff spot, and so. Yeah, I think we all agree that they should be doing better. Oh, all right. I guess you don't want to defend your points. It's so much more fun when someone says stuff that really isn't based on anything. When, you know, you answer a question about it, because the caller doesn't know how John Gibbons interacts with his players. He's no idea what conversations they're having, what he's talking about. So to base an opinion on that is, I guess it's sports fan-y. I think a lot of people think that they can tell what's going on. I had a long conversation with Orlando Hudson today, who is here as a special assistant with the Diamondbacks to general manager Dave Stewart. And he could not have had more wonderful things to say about John Gibbons as a manager, as a person, as someone that team's going to go through a brick wall for. Now, maybe that just feeds your perception that Gibbons is coddling them or, you know, not being tough enough. But I think that we need to understand that baseball, unlike hockey, unlike basketball, unlike football, is not a game of wanting it more. It's not a game of motivation and inspiration of Newt Rockne speeches or whatever. In baseball, trying harder usually sets you back. But more importantly, in baseball, you can't win a battle in the corner. You can't out-hustle. Well, I guess you can. But you can't out-hustle a guy to a loose ball. You can't want it more than the other guy and just overwhelm him and take the ball away. You get your turn, they get their turn. No matter how motivated you are, no matter how much you want it, you get your 27 outs and they get their 27 outs. So it's really different from the, you know, what they call the continuous sports, where possession can change at any time, like hockey, basketball, football. So that whole coach as great motivator, and that's why they're called coaches in that sport and called managers here, because a manager manages the game. And I know that a lot of people don't like to hear that because it takes something away from the perception of athletes as these, you know, guys who can raise their performance to another level because of their strength of character. But that's just not the way it works. It's baseball. So I don't believe in the cage rattler manager as motivator thing, and I think that act wears thin anyway. I think what you do is you find a good tactician, and when you find a good tactician who can run a clubhouse and not have everybody hating him, that's the guy you stick with. Through thick and thin, because it's going to get thin. You know, it's kind of funny, the despondence that I'm seeing on Twitter, that I'm hearing here tonight, firing the manager. I kind of remember saying last week or the week before that, you know, there's going to be a three-game losing streak. The Jays won 20 out of 28 games. They've lost three in a row since. It's okay. It's not fun. Nobody likes it. Happens. It happens all the time. It's going to happen again. but there's 89 games left, and they're a game out of a playoff spot. They're in a very good position. They lost 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. Stunningly, Arizona's 21-14 on the road. I don't get that at all. 13-25 at home, 21-14 on the road. Alex in Toronto. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
First of all, I want to tell you I love your show. You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you. So are you.
Thank you. I want to ask you a question. Do you think having Bautista in the lineup makes an impact through the whole batting order? I feel like his back in order makes everyone else, helps everyone else on the team get their swing better, get their bats more energetic and that type of thing.
No, I don't believe that, except for the fact that, you know, Jose Bautista is a guy who can really work in at bat, who will see a lot of pitches, who, you know, therefore the people who are watching from the bench can see what a pitcher's got, and a pitcher will probably throw more pitches in a ball game when Jose Bautista's playing rather than when Ezekiel Carrera is playing. To that extent, yeah, he helps. He's one of the best hitters in the major leagues, so he's going to help. But I don't know that there's that other, you know, I don't think he makes guys better just by being in the lineup or anything like that.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you. I mean, look, you're obviously much better with Jose Bautista than without Jose Bautista. That's, you know, one of the reasons that the Blue Jays are thought of as one of the best teams in the American League is because they have Jose Bautista. And they don't now for a couple of weeks and probably longer. So they're going to have to figure out how to deal without him. And if they can tread water and hang out around 500 while Jose Bautista, and I don't mean for the season, they're five games up right now, but play around 500 without Jose Bautista, then when he comes back, everything should be fine. Maybe they'll exceed it. Maybe they won't. But they're, you know, they're a different team without him, sure, because he's one of their best players. Allison is in St. Thomas. Hey, Allison.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm a first-time caller and a lifetime Jays fan. My dad took me to my first game during the World Series season of, I can't remember if it was 92 or 93 because I was very small, but I know it was one of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I actually just wanted to call because one of your callers earlier was talking about Gibby and saying that he thought he was too laid back for the Jays. And I just wanted to counter, you know, that a little bit, because as someone who's followed the Jays very closely for 20-some years, I actually was saying to my husband last season that I thought Gibbons was a godsend for the team because he's so laid back. You know, being the only Major League Baseball team in Canada, you know, a lot of people put their hopes on the Jays, get really ramped up. I'm sure you've noticed, you know, when they lose one game, it's all going to hell. Or am I allowed to say that? And I just think that Gibbons being so laid back is actually better for the Jays because he doesn't feed into all the external pressure that they can get caught up in.
I think what it is that people will create a narrative around whatever they want. You saw the Blue Jays during the World Series years, but obviously you were too small
tiny
to remember.
Yeah.
Right? But Cito Gaston managed the Blue Jays to two World Series.
Oh, I loved him.
Sat in the corner of the dugout, never moved, hands in his lap, didn't do anything, was calm, right? He
yep.
was thought of as calm and a great influence for remaining calm. John Gibbons does the same thing. He's lazy and
yeah.
unmotivated, right? So whatever you think of a person, and with Cito, it was based solely on the fact that the Blue Jays won when he was here. Whatever you think of a person, that's what you're going to read into what is exactly the same behavior.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that we've got Gibby, and I'm just hoping, you know, consistency is something everybody wants, but not everybody gets. And I'm trying to stay positive for this season.
As you should. No reason yeah. not to stay positive for this season. They're a game out of a playoff spot.
It's not so bad.
It's pretty good.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Allison. Appreciate the call. And we're going to continue to take your calls. We'll sneak in one more before the break, and then we'll let the network go at the bottom of the hour, and then till 11 o'clock Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590, we'll hear from Marco Estrada as well, who set a major league record today, 11 straight starts. for at least six innings, no more than five hits allowed. Nobody has ever done that before in the history of anything. Jeff is in Unionville. Hello, Jeff.
How are you doing, Mike?
I am not unwell, thank you.
Good. Great show. We listen to after every game on our way home.
Oh, thank you.
Love it. Listen, this is a two-part conversation. The first one being Tulowitzki.
Yes.
He doesn't appear to me to be playing any differently than prior to being injured.
He is 10-4, or sorry, he is 4-11. Yeah, he's 4-11 since he came back, so he's hitting .363.
All right, so .363 in a short span. But
he was 15-50 before he got hurt.
And defensively, though.
Spectacular.
Spectacular, Mike. Come on. He watched that ground ball go right by him tonight. Didn't even make a move.
When was that?
First inning, second inning.
Oh, the one on the shift, the RBI single?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no chance of getting that.
Oh, come on.
Well,
looks to me like he didn't put anything into it because I think they might have rushed him back.
Look at it again. No chance.
And can you maybe shed some light on Gibby's decision to put Travis in the DH spot tonight?
Yeah, I think he wants to kind of keep Darwin Barney in the lineup. Travis has been smoking hot. He was 12-22 going into this game. And so, you know, the choice is Darwin Barney's been hitting well, too. You want to keep him in. Devin Travis is clearly your everyday second baseman. So you want to figure out a way to make all these pieces fit every once in a while. So that's why Travis was DHing today and Smoke got the day off.
Right. But why not put flip Barney and Travis?
Because Barney's a better defender.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Easy.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Mike.
Thank you. Sorry that I didn't agree with you on Troy Tulowitzki, but again, healthy, prior to injuring his quad and since coming back from injuring his quad, Troy Tulowitzki is 19 for his last 61. That is a .311 batting average. Blue Jays fall 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll come back and wrap it up. Postgame is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us as far as the network is concerned. Blue Jays lose 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks, but in the process, Marco Estrada sets a major league record. He goes six innings of two-hitter, despite allowing three runs and taking the loss. He is the first player in the history of Major League Baseball to have 11 consecutive starts of at least six innings while allowing five or fewer hits, an incredible accomplishment. This series ends tomorrow afternoon. We're on the air at 4 o'clock Eastern for a 4:07 first pitch. Jay Happ against Robbie Ray in a battle of lefties. Blue Jays looking for the split. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Tom Rominski, and Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays talk continues.
There goes the runner Weeks. A pitch, fly ball deep left field. Backcourt, Michael Saunders. He's looking up, and that's just what we were talking about. A home run to left field by Yasmani Tomas. Well, not much of an average, but right there, two more in for Arizona. They lead it 3-0 as Tomas hits home plate with number 10.
And that was it. As it turned out, that was all the Arizona Diamondbacks would need. Made it 3-0, and the Blue Jays managed just two on a two-run double by Kevin Pillar in the bottom of the fourth inning. The Jays had won 20 out of 28 games and now have lost three straight. And in two of those three straight, they only scored two runs. A pair of 4-2 losses surrounding the 11-6 loss in Baltimore on Sunday. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays will try for a split tomorrow afternoon. It is a 4 o'clock start for the Jays, Eastern time tomorrow. Marco Estrada is in the books. First pitcher in Major League history to make 11 straight starts of at least six innings and allow fewer than five hits or fewer in each one of them. an amazing, amazing, amazing feat. And before we get to the next call, let's hear from Marco. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Marco, Gibby was saying that your back tightened up a little bit on you. Did that have any effect on you? I mean, you seemed to pitch really well tonight.
Yeah, just the deeper the game got, the worse it got. I was trying to pitch through it, and God, I felt pretty good out there. My arm felt really good. But I noticed I turned around a few times, saw the velo, and it was just going down. I couldn't really reach down and get much on it. Left a few pitches up because of it. You know, gave up a home run on a terrible changeup that I threw. you know, that's what's going to happen when you make bad pitches. But other than that, I thought I still threw the ball pretty well. I gave up two hits or something. One was a 15 hopper to the infield. So that's what's going to happen. Sometimes, you know, you get those shifts and it doesn't always work out, but for the most part, they do. You just saw the big open area and went right for it. So tip your hat to that. But yeah, it's unfortunate we lost there.
How you feeling now? Everything better now?
I don't know. It feels the same. It'll get better. I'll be fine for the next one.
Marco, Gibby had mentioned it's something that you battled off and on. Is this something that between starts you get treatment for, or in recent days, recent hours?
No, it was fine. It's been fine. Everybody knows I struggled with it during spring training. It made me miss a few starts, but once the season started, I was fine. Didn't really have any issues with it until took a few swings, and it just aggravated again. I should know better. If I can't swing a bat, I can't swing one. And I've had back issues, and that's what's going to happen when I try and swing a bat. So I should probably stay away from that. yeah.
On the flip side, you did establish a big league record for starts with six innings pitched, fewer than five hits allowed, 11 in a row. It hasn't been done since the mound was set at 60 feet, 6 inches.
Really?
It's a pretty lengthy mouthful of the team record, but something like that, what does that mean to you?
Well, shoot, there's been a lot of great pitches in this game, and for something like that to happen, obviously very excited, very happy for it, but it's kind of a bittersweet moment right now. We lost, so there's nothing really to cheer for. That's great. Russell's been calling great games. I've had tremendous defense behind me. You saw today the play Pilar made. So it's been a mixture of everything, guys. You know, guys are playing great behind me, and I guess I should be proud. If it's never been done before, I guess. So that's awesome to hear. But like I said, in the end, we lost today, and there's really nothing for me to celebrate about right now.
You talk a little bit more about the catch that Kevin made. I mean, you turned around, you got a really great view of what he did there.
Yeah, threw a decent pitch. I thought I got the guy out in front, and he put good wood on it. Next thing you know, I see Pilar running back. I'm going, man, this might get out of here. Next thing you know, Pilar jumps and makes a tremendous play. It almost doesn't surprise you anymore. He does it so often. You kind of almost expect him to do stuff like that all the time. It's a lot of fun to watch out there, and obviously I'm really glad he's my teammate, because I'm a pop fly pitch, and he gets a lot of work out there. So, he's an incredible fielder, incredible player, and I tip my hat to him with that play, because I know he sacrificed his body a little bit, and I hope he's okay. I haven't really seen him, but I'm sure he's fine. He's a tough guy, so. It was an incredible play.
Does that amaze you, just how tough his body is? I mean, the beating that he puts it through.
Yeah, the guy's always laying out for stuff, and it's got to take a little toll on him. But I'm glad he's in great shape. He's strong guy. So he's making those plays, and it is surprising that he can keep doing it over and over and over again. But like I said, I'm just glad he's on my side.
Why wouldn't he be? There's Marco Estrada talking about the bittersweetness of taking a loss on a night when he sets a major league record. 11 straight starts, at least 6 innings, no more than 5 hits. Nobody has ever done that before in the history of anything. as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. It is an incredible, incredible achievement. Unfortunately, again, it comes in a loss, 4-2, to the Arizona Diamondbacks. But Blue Jays fans, you really need to appreciate what we have here in Marco Estrada. Also, Eric Kratz, remember him? Former Blue Jays backup catcher? Eric Kratz is pitching right now for the Pittsburgh Pirates as they trail the San Francisco Giants 15-3 in the top of the ninth, and he just struck out Brandon Belt. Eric Kratz is throwing knuckleballs, and he's striking people out. So this is pretty cool going on, and he has retired the first two San Francisco Giants that he's faced here in the top of the ninth inning. But again, a 15-3 lead for the Giants. But this is Blue Jays talk, so let's get back to the phones. Dan is in Ottawa. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. First time.
Welcome.
Long time. And I just got a couple comments there. I'll ring them off, and then I'll let you do your thing. Congrats to Marco, writing himself into the history books. That's fantastic, and hopefully he can keep that rolling. Two, to the gentleman that was calling from Montreal. Clearly, if you're losing three games and you got to fire management, I wouldn't want you running any team. That's absolutely insane, and three games is nothing. And if you're worried about motivation, you just have to look at guys like Pilar and Donaldson doing what they do defensively. There's enough motivation there to not stress about anything. We have a big issue coming up in the off season. Hopefully, prior to that, they'll get it done with Batista. I don't know what your thought is. I would say he's peaked. Whether he gradually slows down over the years, I think everything will depend on what he believes he's worth, whether we're able to re-sign him or not. I don't disagree one bit with the fact that he is valuable to this team, and he does help in any way that he can when he's there. I just think the reality is it's business. Finances are finances, and that's part of the game as well, 50-50, right? Other than that, love the show, and I'll continue to listen to you going forward. Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. As far as my thoughts on the Bautista thing, I think you're bang on. Clearly he's peaked, very obviously, but he is still one of the best hitters in the game. And I don't know if it'll depend how much on what he believes he's worth or what the market believes he's worth. They may be the same thing, they may not. And when it comes down to it, the Blue Jays may well be the team that is willing to give him the most. I don't know if that's true or not. I know he's not given a hometown discount. I don't believe he should give a hometown discount. But I think that what it's going to come down to is, first of all, how he recovers from this. Second of all, if there's somebody out there who's willing to give him an enormous amount of money, because all it takes is one to just blow everybody else right out of the water. We'll see. But that's for the offseason. Right now, we're looking at a team that is a game out of a playoff spot. And we need to enjoy this because it's been so long. We've had one playoff year since 1993 and looking for back-to-back here. Tommy's in Oshawa. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Mikey. How's it going?
You know, you
sort of stole my thunder there with the Batista thing. I was going to chime in about not trading him. We just can't right now.
It'd be insane to trade him.
It'd be
insane. It's a fireable offense to trade Jose Bautista when you're contending for a playoff spot.
I know it is. I mean, I know Carrera's tearing the cover off the ball. Maybe when he comes back, he can DH. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But
the odds that Carrera is going to continue to tear the cover off the ball are slim indeed.
I know. Ride him while he's hot.
Right.
Anyway, I was thinking he can DH when he comes back. Edwin hits good when he's playing first base, plays a serviceable first base. Why not?
Because Justin Smoke's better than Ezekiel Carrera.
I know.
That's why.
It's all mix and match, I know.
Yeah.
And one more thing before I go.
Sure.
I heard you were going to MC the award ceremony this past weekend.
I was supposed to MC the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony this weekend and this past weekend in St. Mary's, but I got sick.
Oh, my. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you.
And I just want to shout out to all the inductees.
Yeah, absolutely. They deserve it. Pat Henkin was here today. Howie Starkman was here today, two of the guys who were induced, if you will, into the Hall of Fame in St. Mary's. I really, really do regret not being able to go, I was I could barely stand up on Saturday. So,
oh, that's too bad. Well, if I'm ever out in St. Mary's, I'm certainly going to go there.
Make a trip, even
I
if
will.
You're not
Thank
out
you,
in
Mike.
St. Mary's. Make the decision to get out there and go. It is a wonderful place and a tremendous museum. Thank you. Appreciate the call, Tommy. Blue Jays lose 4-2 to Arizona. Ammo is in Mississauga. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
I've been listening for a while now, and I am a first-time caller.
Welcome.
And I really do enjoy your talk afterwards. And I have to say thank you to you for all that defense that you did for the Blue Jays back in Maine. And I really hate the fact that when the Jays don't win, that the fans are calling you and we have to start firing everybody. And I really do, because I really believe our Jays are going to make it still. And I'm happy to hear that they might. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Two games ago, one of the umpires got really hurt.
Yes, Dale Scott. Ouch.
Yeah. Is he okay?
Don't know. I haven't heard an update, actually, on him. Certainly, there's been nothing. I think if there had been something major, we probably would have heard something. Like if he, you know, he suffered an injury that would require surgery or something like that. So we haven't heard anything about that. I would assume, and I don't know if he's working tonight, I would assume he's going to be okay. I mean, having been in that position before, it is, and I don't know if you know, it's comparable, you could see in Dale Scott's face that once he got up and people were starting to check on him, there was a moment there where it looked like he was about to throw up on the field, And that's what happens. So they got him out of there. Hopefully he's okay. But again, I haven't heard any update. So I'm assuming that there's nothing major.
Well, if you do get any updates, I'd just appreciate it if you would just kind of announce it on the air when you're on.
Sure.
And just tell the fans that he's okay, because he really took a hard bomb. Yeah, which actually brings me around to what I wanted to really talk about, and that is, would it be possible that we might be able to take the umpire out of the back and let the pitch hitter be the one to dictate the game for us?
And let the who?
The pitch hitting.
The hitter.
The pitch hit. That little screen that they put up on the television.
Oh, the pitch tracks box.
Oh, pitch track. Is that what they call that?
Yeah. I would love that.
I would love that, too. I think it would bring integrity to the game.
I don't think there's a lack of integrity. I don't think they're making mistakes on purpose.
Well, come on, Mike. You know that the umpires are generally calling calls wrong.
Oh, yeah, but it's not because of a lack of integrity. It's because they're human beings and the ball's moving really fast.
That would eliminate all of that.
Yeah, it would be cool. I'm all for that. I've been railing on that for years.
This is the second umpire that's gotten hurt. It's not like it's the first. The other guy took it to the head, and he was out, too.
Yeah, umpires get hurt all the time. But
oh, not like this. I don't know, correct if I'm wrong, but back in the 80s, I don't remember balls coming through at 100 miles an hour, do you?
Not nearly as often as they do now, no, but they did, but not as often.
Right.
But it's not the speed of the ball that you know, the difference between getting hit by 95 and getting hit by 100 is not what's causing umpires to get hurt now. It's a dangerous position to be standing in, and, you know, they're not padded well enough. They don't. I like the old balloon protectors that they used to have back in the 80s. But the, you know, saving umpires from getting hurt is not a reason to get rid of home plate umpires. And you're still going to need.
The umpires. You need the umpires, just not the one behind the plate. That's all I'm suggesting. Just take the one out from behind the plate and let the a pitch.
The pitch tracks box.
Pitch track spot be the one. Because you remember that call where New York called in and told them to take a look at that slide that Kevin Pillar did, and they said that he did a slide error on that?
That was at second base, yes.
Right, and the umpire was right there, and the ump didn't call anything wrong.
Yep.
But if they could do that and intervene in the game and change a calling and change the outcome of the game. There's no reason why we can't have that pitch tracker telling us who's in it, who's out. There's no arguing with anyone this way. We do need the other umpires still. You need to have somebody there to call timeout. You need to have someone to answer that call when the New York calls. Or you need to be able to review a call that one of the managers are questioning, you know.
Right.
But I think for safety and for accuracy, just get them out of the back of that. And also, I think it gives the back catcher a bit more freedom and movement, and he doesn't have to worry, where did this ump move to? You know?
I don't think the catcher's – I mean, maybe on a ball that gets through him. Thanks for the call, Ammo. I'm all for – I've said it before, robot umpires. I wouldn't go as far as you and remove the home plate umpire from back there. But I do think balls and strikes should be called mechanically if the technology exists to be able to call balls and strikes mechanically. Just because umpires are human. And human beings make mistakes all the time. Blue Jays lose it 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Back to the phone, Andre in Scarborough. Hello, Andre.
Hey, Mike, needed to call in because the fire Gibby is just ridiculous. We were talking last week and you said they could lose three games and it'll still be okay. And it is still okay. We're one game out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, you know? It's totally okay.
And I think baseball is different in terms of like the other sports. If the players like the coach, they can definitely play harder and that can translate into certain things. But with baseball, you can only make the best decisions possible and hope it works out.
The manager, yeah, absolutely. I kind of can, you know, think of it as like, it's sort of like, one of those, I hate to say this, but one of those tabletop baseball games, like everybody knows Strat-O-Matic, even though Dynasty League Baseball is better, where you're basically... You make the decisions and then you roll the dice and whatever happens, happens. That's what a manager does. Once he says, this is the best guy to use in this situation, it's out of his hands and it's in the hands of the performer. And as long as a manager isn't consistently putting the wrong players in the right situations or players in situations where they're not likely to succeed, then he's doing the best he can.
For sure. And just two quick comments. When this team is playing their best baseball, I feel like the only thing that does slow us down are injuries. And, you know, that's the one thing in the past, too, that has really held this team back. Hopefully, like, the Bautista one isn't too long because we just had Tulo out, got him back, you know?
Yeah, hopefully, but I wouldn't count on it. I think Jose Bautista is going to be out for a while. We shall see. But you know what? Time goes by quick, and then you if he's gone a month, then he'll be back right after the All-Star break, and off you go. You still have a whole big whack of the season left to play. I appreciate the call, Andre.
Oh,
thank you.
Can I just say one last thing quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Just wanted to say you, Elliot Freeman, Michael Grange, in my opinion, are just on top of your games when it comes to providing us information about your respective sports. Thanks.
Thank you. That's pretty pretty fancy company to be placed in. I appreciate that. I do. That means a lot. Blue Jays have lost three in a row, and it's okay. It's okay. Going to try to even up this series, get the split tomorrow, and then they have an off day before a six-game road trip through Chicago and Colorado, and then home till the All-Star break. An 11-game homestand with the Indians, Royals, and Tigers coming in to take us to the All-Star break. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. And David in Toronto, you're next. Hello, David.
Hi, Michael. That's a great segue to what I wanted to bring up. I've never been a fan of interleague play.
Fair enough.
But now that it's unavoidable because of the odd teams in each league.
Yep.
I can't stand the fact that the All-Star game is usually the determinant for the team that gets the extra game for the World Series. So what I would like to propose is that instead of taking a game that is basically managed in a way that you would never manage another baseball game, that they actually take the total number of interleague play games, and whichever league wins the most games gets the extra game for the World Series.
Fine by me. No issue with that at all. It's been mentioned before. Jerry's talked about it a few times, liking that idea. I think that may be the fairest way to do it. You know, when we were growing up, they just rotated 1 year the American League, 1 year the National League. If you want to make it worth something, you're absolutely right. The All-Star game should be an exhibition. It should be fun. It should be laid back. It should not matter. And because they screwed up however many years ago and ran out of pitchers in extra innings, and they had to have a tie when there could have been a bunch of other ways to solve that issue. They've decided, well, the All-Star game's got to mean something. And so it means something, and yet the managers still try to make sure everybody plays and whatever.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It is. And you're right. You look at the...
How do you go about changing a rule like something like this?
Because it's not a rule. It's just a thing that they decided.
A format.
They just have to make a different decision.
So who do you appeal to? Because to me, as an average fan, I say, well, this is ridiculous. How do you
The problem is that I don't know how easy. I think they love the fact that you can track it. You know, you watch the game and it's exciting and who wins, right? But if you're watching an interleague record over the course of an entire season, they would say, well, there's no drama, there's whatever, which I dismiss anyway. But Mark Shapiro is on the competition committee, so... you know, we could talk to him about it.
Is there any way I could send him an email?
I'm sure there is.
Okay.
Call the Blue Jays.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, David. I like it. The activist fan. I'm a big fan. Blue Jays fall 4-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Time for one more call. Kevin is in Brampton. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Go ahead.
I was just wondering how your take on the importance of the continued success of the Blue Jays, if that would impact in maybe another Major League Baseball team in Canada due to the popularity of baseball increasing due to the success of the Blue Jays.
You think that the Blue Jays winning will make it easier for Montreal to come back? Is that what you're suggesting?
I was just wondering what your take would be if the Blue Jays continued success, so year after year they'd maybe make the playoffs or have a good push and increasing the number of fans for baseball in Canada for maybe another team to pop up somewhere in Canada, not necessarily Montreal, but somewhere.
Well, it's Montreal or nothing. I mean, there's not going to be another. There's not going to be a major league team in Vancouver, and there's no other city that could sustain it. So, I think. I don't know. I think it's more about Blue Jays being successful will lead to more grassroots baseball in Canada, more kids getting signed up by their parents to play, more kids getting excited about it, and you know, eventually more major leaguers like we saw come out of the Blue Jays' success from 1985 to 1993, where all of a sudden there's this run of great Canadians in the game. Because of that. So I think that's more likely than Major League Baseball seeing it and suggesting, hey, we should put another team in Canada. Because remember that in 92 and 93, the Blue Jays drew $4 million, and they basically pulled the plug on the Expos like 5 years later. So I don't know that A has to do with B, but I do think there is a sense now that baseball's starting to get ready to come back to Montreal. That with the Blue Jays going there for spring training, you know, the crowds there, over 100,000 people for two games this year, close to 100,000 the 2 years before. I think the sense is starting to be that if they can put a ballpark plan together, there will be a team in Montreal soon. But I don't know if that has much to do with the Blue Jays' success. I appreciate the call. Appreciate all the calls. Apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. We'll do it again tomorrow. 4 o'clock Eastern time, we're on the air. Jays and Diamondbacks, J-Hap against Robbie Ray. The Blue Jays trying for a split of this series. They lost today 4-2. We'll see you tomorrow.